Blog Talk Radio.
Got a mismatch. Walker on McGee with four. Kemba Walker. Step back. Walker. Cornea Kemba does it again.
Gilbert for the win.
I go by Jarrell, Dapper J, Dap, whatever you want to call me, as long as you call me. And if you're listening, I appreciate it. My co-host, my man, Bobby G.
You know.
What's popping, man?
Man, you know what's good, man. It is Tuesday. So I'm happy to be alive, man.
It's Tuesday. It's Groundhog Day. We have an early spring, man.
But we're not even going to go into that.
Hey, let me. Oh, more importantly, it's Black History Month. That's the more important thing. It's Black History Month. But let me probably ask you about my day. So we in the news, right? As you know, it's Groundhog Day. Mm-hmm. Now, no one for the most part really cares. You know, you hear like, oh, is it early spring or six more weeks for winter, right?
Yeah.
Man, we doing coverage of the city in Pennsylvania. I can't even think of the, I don't know how to pronounce it. Let me go look up the pronunciation of the city right now. And, dog, when I tell you, they were so hyped. Like, this, they're the people who had the groundhog. I'm talking about they're drinking, they're partying. The whole city is shut down. They're doing fireworks at 6 in the morning for Groundhog Day. My man had a speech. I'm going to say this one day in my caption. So if you follow me on Instagram, knowing Dapper J, if you were wondering, I'm going to say this. Hold on, let me load all this stuff up because I was writing stuff down. We were all rolling. When I say we were rolling, what did he say? Hold on, let's look it up. He started off his speech by saying, to the perpetuators of legend. I was like, yo, I'm going to use that. I have no idea what I'm going to use it for, but I'm going to use it. When I tell you, I never really saw anyone pay attention for Groundhog Day. Rob, something about Pennsylvania, man. They wild out. Rob, I don't think you understand, like, they wild out more than anybody I've ever seen. I'm about to look up the pronunciation so that way I can properly say this. And ironically, the groundhog name is Phil. So, Phil, if you're ever listening, you're a groundhog now. That's all you are to us. Rob, when I get the pronunciation, I want everyone to look this up. Like, it was literally... Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. Look up Punxsutawney Phil. He's a groundhog. They've been doing this for 150 years. It's one of the funniest things you'll ever see. Like, people are really dead. Like, how we are the G-Ho, they are for Groundhog Day. It was,
that's not
they had
weird
stage,
at all.
Kids dead, everyone dancing, getting
what?
Drunk. Oh, that was the funniest thing. We were covering it like this, like Obama was getting elected again. It was... it's the funniest thing.
Oh, goodness.
Just look that up. That was a great start to my day. And I'm off tomorrow, so I'm feeling pretty nice, man. How you doing, man?
You know, man, you know, in school. So, you know, putting the work in, literally. So,
literally?
I need the time
you
in
the plug, B?
I'm not.
You the plug right now, man?
Hey, man, you know, y'all need some assignments done for the low sum. Hit me off with some funds.
Now, are we going to get an A-plus on these assignments?
Man, you get what you pay for. You know, money motivates me.
So, what is an A-plus grade? I mean, people need to know this. I've graduated, so I don't need your help at all. I'm saying for people who are still in school.
Allegedly, if I was into those cheating scandals, I'm not saying
yes,
I would
allegedly.
For someone's homework or anything. I mean, $20 on a paper, I mean, you probably get an A-plus for that. I mean, I think that's what they're going for on the black market.
$20, all right. I'm gonna keep that in mind for all the people out there listening.
Five for homeworks, but that's all alleged. It's no confirmation.
All right. So today we have a very interesting episode. Like I said, Black History Month, we're going to get into our pro-black, you know, touch into our spirits. But we also, if you were asleep over the weekend, you know, Drake and me.
You were in a coffin.
Okay. Megatron, Calvin Johnson, for those who don't follow football, retired.
Come on, man.
I said, it's Black History Month. It's Super Bowl Sunday coming up. So we got to talk about the most polarizing figure in this year's Super Bowl, Cam Newton. Cam Jarrell Newton. You know, shout out Jarrell.
Killer Cam.
Jarrell the same
shout
way.
Out to Harlem.
Shout out Cam. Shout out Atlanta. That's where he's from, man. I love Atlanta. And you should love Atlanta, too. And then we're going to do a little Super Bowl prediction, because I don't know if I'm going to be here Friday. So we're going to do a little something today.
Like, he has prior plans. He doesn't have a terminal illness, guys. He's okay. I'm just saying.
I mean, I make moves, man. You know
you
how it is.
You gotta clear that up. You know.
I make moves. I'm in the street. Anyway, let's start off with Drake versus Meek. For people who are on social media, Drake tweets, and Drake don't even tweet like that anymore. So Drake was like, "It starts, you know, this Saturday." So I'm like, "Oh, OVO Sound, he might debut his whole album," which that didn't happen. He did, however, debut a single, "Summertime 16."
Mm-hmm.
Now, Rob, you know, I'm a bigger Drake fan out of the two of us. Can
than
we agree?
Many people, period, but that's not the point here. Keep going.
That's definitely not the point, because I'm not. Lyrically, the bars were there. Production-wise, it was decent. Chorus, flows. Yeah. The first half of the song, I wasn't feeling the flow. Second half, I'm there. So overall, if I want to grade the track 1 out of 10, it's like a 6.57. It's not the craziest Drake record, but it's not the worst Drake record either. Now, literally, it's 10 minutes after Summertime 16 premieres on Apple Music, OVO Sound Radio. He took shots. For those who haven't listened to it yet, two shots from everywhere, from Jay, Obama, Kanye, Tory Lanez, Meek Mill, and whoever else, you know, is Drake's opposition. Meek come out, delivers another 4-for-4 EP, a better 4-for-4 EP that I might add, in response to everything Drake said in Summertime 16.
Shout out to Meek Mill,
about
man.
The Jay
215, silly.
So you finally claim me, he finally gets his up. Wait, let me finish.
Look
let me finish, Rob. Let me finish.
On the podcast, man.
Let me finish.
Keep going.
He responds about Jay. He mentions Drake hates on Tory. And he also mentioned about Back to Back, which they talked about. They were in the same hotel. Whose side you believe in, that's on you. But they were in the same hotel. And, Meek finally figured out timing. I just wish this could have came out instead of 1-0, because it's a way better record than 1-0.
I want to know.
It was calculated. Even had O'Malley on there hyping it up, gassing him like what Men Bleak was to Jay. I respected the record. I liked the EP. All the beats were phenomenal. If you love Meek, you're going to love this record. And if you don't love Meek, you're not going to like this record. That just is what it is. But I respect it.
I mean,
what's your opinion, man?
Like you said, man, it's been a while for me. I can't even remember if I ever said that I liked Drake verses, but not the hook on one of his songs. Like, Summertime 16 was a cool record. I gave it a 7 out of 10. It was cool. Second verse was dope. First verse was cool.
Dope.
The hook was garbage to me. It just sounded like he really didn't even care about the hook. He just came in there and just finesse the joint. The beat was cool, so of course he wrote the beat, and then like he just finessed the hook and was like, oh, okay, my lyrics are going to outshine this. But since he's a hook-driven rapper, you know, for the most part, his lyrics weren't on the side of the crappy hook. So that definitely brought the song down, you know. But like I said, it was a 7 out of 10. It was a cool record. I didn't think he would put out another record dissing me. I actually advised, I'm saying it's like I'm in his inner circle, but, you know, in the airwaves or whatever, I said Drake probably should stop addressing me because he's already won, and continuing to bring it up only gives Meek a chance to fire back, which is exactly what he did, like you said, about 10 minutes later on a fire record. War Pain is dope to me. The beat is crazy. I like the street feel. Like that, when he starts off location, Toronto, I'm like, what? Like, it just sounded like he was going to slap somebody in the face. And, like, that's the kind of feeling I want to get from a Meek Mill record. Like, I don't want just the, some, like, oh, it's a nice hype record. Okay, cool. But I want to get some of that street feel. Because, like I said, I remember Meek from Nappy Braids Meek, Street Meek in Philly. So, especially in wartime, you want to get that kid, that griminess come out of a person, especially when you know they have it. Like, and it's never good to see a man just take a beating from somebody, especially a guy who's not the toughest looking guy. So, War Pain was definitely a well-timed punch right back. And it brings up some interesting questions. So,
I feel like, again, Drake, to be real, I saw a tweet in it, and I kind of agree with it. If Summertime 16 isn't on views, I'm perfectly fine with that. Because I want views to just be nothing but crack. So I just feel like it was another statement record that Drake's going to profit off of. I don't see him doing a video. Just kind of like the, I just do this. I'm addressing what I see fit. You know, get in where you fit in. And me responded in a timely fashion and in a very well fashion. It wasn't like I responded, but it was trash. I responded, and it was fire.
Exactly.
So that's my opinion on that. And you, as we talked about it before we did the podcast, you said it gives Meek more credibility and it makes you want to check out his next records. What I do feel, however, I wouldn't be surprised if the day that Drake drops Views from the Six, Meek might want to drop Dream Chasers 4. It wouldn't surprise me. Meek's like, you know what? I'm going to use all my energy towards Drake, which if he wants to do that, that's, I don't agree with it because it's like you're staring all your energy towards this one person. And that's cool, but it's like we don't want to see that. What happened last summer is what happened. Do you really want a whole mixtape? He ain't T.I. Only T.I. can successfully do that.
Well, first, Down with the King was crazy. Okay. I was a Flip fan.
I made
like,
albums
yo,
about
Flip.
You.
Flip, and then he came with Down with the King, and I was like, screw Flip. Flip ain't nothing, man. We don't even listen to him over here. And then with the Sorta Low joint, what's up, what's happening is top five disses of all time, man. I'm tired of people looking over that song. Like, that's so crazy. And the video in front of dudes' projects, come on. But that's another issue. But, like, I feel like when you look at, okay, people have tried to compare this beef to the 50 and Ja Rule beef, right?
Right.
Ja Rule's problem was that he did gear. He staked his career on the beef, pretty much, with the album Blood in My Eye. 99% of the album, if not 100% of the album, was a diss towards 50. You know, Clap Back, he had The Crown on the joint. You know, he had records, right. A lot of them. But that wasn't his lane. You know, we knew Jaws had a street sense, you know what I'm saying? I mean, he brought that thug appeal, but to, like, Love Records, you know? Exactly. Like, we wanted to hear more singles. Like, as long as the singles was popping, that's why when he dropped Mesmerize, even when he was in the beef, everybody's like, yo, this song is crazy. And he was still afloat because it's like, you can say what you want in the streets and blah, blah. You keep giving the masses the music we want to hear, we're going to still listen to you. Once he did focus all his energy on 50, that was his downfall. But that was because Ja, for lack of a better term, was punching down. In the sense that, in the beginning of the beef, Ja Rule was way above 50 as far as stature. People hardly knew who 50 was, you know. Like, the streets
agreed.
Knew, but, like, the masses didn't know. Everybody and their mother knew who Ja Rule was. White people, black people, every type of people. So it was stupid. But it's the opposite for Meek and Drake, because Meek is a street person, quote-unquote. That's his market, you know, being street. We want to see him go toe-to-toe with people. He's, like, Drake is punching down in this sense, you know what I'm saying? Like, that Drake's the one punching down right now. Like, if Drake focused a whole project on Meek, then that's Drake losing. If Meek focused a whole project on Drake, like, Get Rich or Die Tryin' had many disses with on Ja Rule in that album. If Meek does that with Dream Chasers 4, and he can literally stake his career on this beef. And if he wins it, if he somehow completes the comeback of a century,
I didn't see
the
man.
Like,
I mean, he is
to do,
the man.
Like,
he
would
go down
technically
as
win.
A legend for that.
If he doesn't have to technically, quote, unquote, win the totality, but if he comes out this battle, like, where people still mess with his music and still, like, yo, they he regains the respect. That's the big thing. You know, if they respect him again, he's no longer the butt of everybody's jokes. Little announcers taking shots at him, like, they going to see him in the street. Ooh, he's with so-and-so. Well, we'd rather see so-and-so. Like, come on, man. Like, the moment he gains that respect back, it's crazy. Like, he should stake his whole career on this.
Hear me out. He could gain the respect back, right? That's like saying, you know, 50 makes a respect. But then if views is what it's supposed to be, which is people are saying it's going to be Drake's best album, the turning point, this is what's going to propel him to the next level of his career.
Mm-hmm.
If it's that, then cool. It's like, all right, Meek is cool. But at the end of the day, Drake is Drake. And to quote him, he really is on a higher place. Just like, yo, this dude really just bossed up.
Yeah, but I mean,
and if he does that, then it's all, it's not null and void because Meek gets his respect back, but it's like, I didn't
exactly. But see, but two people can win a beef, though. I mean, we see that with Jay
you're
and
right.
Nas. I mean, Jay
you're
had
right.
Takeover and brought, that's what it is. Back to back, I'm not saying back to back of Takeover as a diss track, because it's not. It nowhere is compared to Takeover. But when Jay had Takeover, and Nas was dead. Me growing up, I knew Jay-Z music. I heard of Nas. When I heard Takeover, I was feeling sorry for Nas, and I didn't really know who he was. I remember listening to him in Boombox thinking, whoever this Nas guy is, man, he must be going through it. But Ether put him back on the map. That beef resurrected Nas's career and made Nas who he is today, the respected rap veteran. Back to back was the blow. Meek was down for that. We all thought we'd never hear a respectable Meek Mill, you know, reference. People would say his voice is like, doesn't just laugh, like, oh, don't get Meek Mill. He'd be the new Ether, bro.
But the difference between the Jay, not to cut you off, the difference between the Jay and Nas comparison and Drake and 50, I mean, and Drake and Meek, Meek just dropped a platinum album, a number one album.
Mm-hmm.
Nicki Minaj is my chick. Life is wonderful. At the end of the day, Nas didn't do it to himself. Meek did. That's the difference.
I mean, Nas, well, technically not, but, I mean, he did fire shots at Memphis Bleek, which, let's be real, even in Nas' worst day in his life, he still held 10 times more weight than Memphis Bleek ever did. And shout out to Bleek, I definitely am a fan of Bleek. But let's be real, Nas is still Nas, you know. So why would he take a shot at Bleek? Knowing, I mean, you ain't no way you're going to be like, that's like you got a big brother that's Diesel, and we know you're a punk, and I'll punch you in the face. You kind of know going into the punch that you're going to call your big brother, you know what I'm saying? So we knew
right.
It's going to happen. Like, he this Bleek, I'm pretty sure he knew Jay was going to say something. Like, but
So
I mean, I think like I said, for me, I think it's smart. Ride with this beef until it dies, man. Why not?
All right.
He's in too deep already.
Yeah, there's really no other place he can go.
Exactly. He can't say, screw this beef, I'm over it. What? Like, this guy mollywopped you with back-to-back. You dropped a dope track, but it wasn't the full comeback, and now you want to be done? You don't get to decide that. No.
Another fact
ride this
gotta,
to the wheel.
You got to point out. Another fact you got to point out. The Grammys are in, like, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Drake wins the Grammy for back-to-back.
Back-to-back. Yes.
Bro.
I mean, that was definitely... That'd be another
that
blow.
That would be monumental.
But me could just flip it and just say Grammys are for softies or something like that, or just say I'm for the streets.
No, because everyone you idolize either won a Grammy or has a Grammy.
Well, I mean,
like, me idolize
a Grammy.
And, I mean, there's a lot of people who don't have Grammys, but they've been nominated or they wanted that Grammy. People say, oh, the Grammys is whack until you get a nomination. Oh, I love the man, get out of here. So we can talk Drake and Meek all day, and that could be the whole podcast.
Yeah,
Drake and Meek. We're not gonna do that. Another news: it's Super Bowl Sunday, Super Bowl week, man. The biggest, like Frank Herzog said, Redskins former play call announcer, it's the biggest game in history of Western civilization is on Sunday, 6:30. It's huge, man. It's prime time. 100 million people watching it at least.
It's Super Bowl.
Speaking of Drake,
man, we don't need
Drake
no
got a commercial for the Super Bowl, man. That's huge. That's huge for hip hop. It's huge for Sprint. It's huge for Drake.
It's huge for his wallet.
Hey, that too. But before we even get into Super Bowl, we got to talk about one of the game's greatest talents who not only never made the Super Bowl, he never won a playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about Calvin Johnson, better known as Megatron, retiring early? This has happened twice.
Ran up on the franchise.
Yeah, Rob will put a meme. Go on his Instagram, BobbyJordan4&3. He's going to tag me in his photo, ran off on the plug twice. It's Barry Sanders and Calvin. Why, B?
Because the Lions deserve it. The Lions, you have to be the worst organization ever, man. The worst. And this is maybe putting you past the Browns. How do you have two, like you said before in our conversation, two once-in-a-generation, once-in-a-lifetime talents, and they both leave your team? Not ask you to release them. To escape you, they retire.
They retire.
Do you realize how depressing that is? Barry Sanders had 15,000-plus yards in 10 years and could easily have broken Walter Payton's rushing record. But
he needed was 1,400 yards.
And millions of dollars, whatever he had on the table, whatever he could have had in the future, because your freaking organization was so god-awful that it depressed him to look. This guy, I guarantee you he was close to suicide. I'm pretty sure Calvin Johnson is, too, when dealing with that team. Calvin Johnson was posting amazing stats. He lost 16 games in a row.
It's a shame, man. He was on that 0-16 team. One, as you pointed out, we were talking before the podcast, he's only experienced two winning seasons.
Two. He played 9 years.
That's sad,
yo. Like, I feel sorry for Cap. Shout out to Calvin Johnson. You've always been one of my favorite receivers. You're one of the reasons why I watch football after a lot of the people that I grew up watching were starting to fizzle out, retire, and stuff like that. Shout out to Calvin Johnson, a.k.a. Megatron, one of the dopest nicknames of all time.
Megatron. I got to say it like that every time. Just like, yo, that's Megatron, bro. The only good thing Roy Williams ever did in his career was give him that nickname. Now let me stop. Shout out Roy Williams.
Yeah,
shout out Roy Williams.
That was dang. He just went and shot off. Woof.
Let me chill.
But, I mean, come on now. Like I said, man, the Browns have been trash. But I don't see people retiring to escape the Browns. And I think they've been garbage. I'm a Redskins fan, and I can legitimately say the Browns have been garbage. people don't retire to escape them. My Redskins have been trans for a long time, a lot of years. Once it's all this year, though, no, this is now.
You're
people
right.
don't retire from the Redskins to escape us. It don't happen, really. You had two people, two all-time greats, because maybe
you're right.
Because
it's
you can say,
all-time great. It's not like it's two bums. You have
exactly.
two of the greatest people to ever play in the National Football League. That is crazy.
Measure talent. Calvin Johnson is arguably the most talented receiver of all time. The mixture of Randy Moss and T.O. And he is willing to leave like $50 million on the table. You ever seen $50 million?
I'll never forget. Because he had, you know, long before Odell made, you know, the catch seen around the world. Remember Calvin's
mm-hmm.
catch at Georgia Tech?
Uh-huh.
Like, when he, and mind you, I remember in eighth grade, I did, my teacher asked me what school I wanted to go to. I was thinking either the U or Georgia Tech. And I remember I got ESPN the magazine. Calvin Johnson, 6'5", 240, runs a 4.35. Rob, they said it's like imagine, they said he couldn't find his shoes. So he put on another person's shoes and still ran a 4.35. Like, do y'all know how crazy that is?
Like, come on, man.
The Lions had drafted, what was it, five straight drafts that
horrible.
First pick was a wide receiver. And they knew, they was like, oh, it'll be the sixth straight year, but it's like Calvin's a can't-miss player.
Hey,
like, he was
so
gifted, it was
miss.
Like,
you got over that. Like, you were like, yo, screw bad luck, me. Like, screw that we've thrown away five straight picks on receivers. He's so great that I'm going to get over me being traumatized by drafting receivers too early.
It's a shame, man.
Like, come on, man. Like, just, man, Lions, just stop being a team. Sell the franchise. Shout out to Detroit. You guys deserve better. I mean, you always hear bad things, like, you know, city of Detroit's going through things. But, you know, they got the Tigers. The Pistons is looking promising. The Red Wings and hockey, they're cool. Salamari, get
it's
rid
sad,
of them.
Man.
Like, they have brought nothing great to the city, man.
And what was really sad, and it may be just me because I'm an outside perspective. Granted, he just scored a touchdown in his last game. But all I think of is when Aaron Rodgers completed the Hail Mary against the Lions, Calvin just, like, it looked like he fainted. Did you see the play? Like, Matt Stafford throws
yeah.
his hat, and Calvin Johnson just falls. And it's like, that's it.
That sums up his Lions career, man. Like, any time where there's a glimmer of hope that good things can come through him, come from him being on this crappy team on this in this horrible organization, something snatches it right from him. Like, man, I hope he doesn't retire. I hope, I mean, if he retires, I hope he comes back later like Ricky Williams or something, you know.
But
I know
Calvin's
he can still
a classy
play.
Dude, and he, you know, of course, he can still play, and he definitely respects the Lions and what they did for him, just like Barry. But he's not the type of dude to cause any drama. He's just a man. He plays, he does his thing, and he moves on. So it's crazy. Like, Calvin Johnson is leaving the game of football.
Yeah, man.
Twice. And it's not like this happened in a 40 or 50 year gap. This happened in a relatively, 20 year gap?
Yeah, about 20 years, yeah.
That stuff sad, yo.
Soon the Lions will get another great player and screw him up, too.
That's just sad, man. I feel like I gotta pour something for Calvin. Just like, yo, man.
Like, I don't know how stupid the Lions. Like, come on, man. How do you let Sue and come on, man. They just want to be garbage.
It's crazy.
I just can't, man.
But, you know, now back to the more important things in terms of the Super Bowl. It's crazy, man. You got Cam Newton and the Sheriff, you know, Peyton Manning. Tatum, yep. My main man. Broncos, Panthers. You're in Carolina. I graduated from the school in Carolina, so we know a whole bunch of Carolina Panthers fans. And this is the greatest thing that's ever happened to them since 03, but they're feeling more confident now. And then, you
way
know, we
more.
Got people from Denver. You know, shout out our boy Oz.
Yeah, man.
And I personally want to see Peyton ride the sunset like Elway did in 98. But if Cam dabs his way to a trophy, I'm not mad either, dog.
Mm-hmm.
I'm torn. But what I am upset about is people going in on Cam, saying this and that. Like, you see this tweet? I think Shannon Sharp had said something. And this girl was like, oh, he's a thug. Peyton dresses well class. Cam got on a hoodie. He a thug. Peyton's professional because he got on a suit. Really, dog? Really?
I mean, come on, man. Like, these, I mean, this is the same thing that's been said a million times, you know. I mean, and then you see people, white people do the same, like, wear, like, remember when do-rags was horrible? All these black guys wearing a do-rag. He's going to shoot you. He's going to rob you. Now I'm seeing white people wear do-rags. What? Is that wrong when they do it? Huh? Like, that is crazy,
I think
man.
It's crazy. You know, they were like, why weren't y'all doing this with Russell Wilson? Russell Wilson, great quarterback. But he doesn't have that flair, that charisma that Cam has. Cam has a flair seen like similar like some Magic Johnson. Like, he's a showman, but he's a
yeah.
He's not like, oh, he's trash. He's literally like a Magic Johnson, like, smile all the time. He balls. You know, he does what he needs to do. Because he's a showman, because he has fun. One, they hate him dabbing, but this man is giving the football to a kid every touchdown.
Yeah.
Every single score is like, yo, shout, find a kid, give him my football.
Like,
you know,
man,
and if
like,
you hate it, stop it.
Is it like, if the worst thing you can think about somebody is that they dance when they score a touchdown, let me let you in on a little secret, okay? Maybe you guys have never played the game of football in your whole unimportant life, okay? Me, I've played football, whether with friends, on a team, whatever. When you realize how hard it is to score a touchdown, to get the ball from your side of the field to a defense that does everything in their power to stop you and get in the end zone, well, maybe you want to freaking celebrate your accomplishment. And if dancing is the way you want to celebrate, like it has been for the last, what, since the inception of the freaking game? Like, we're going to act like Cam Newton's the first guy to dance in the freaking end zone? Really? Stop.
Wait,
stupid.
Wait, hold on. I got to interrupt you. In the words of one, in my opinion, the most swagged out individual to ever walk a football field, goes by the name of Deion Sanders, I'm celebrating gifts. If you got a gift, who am I not to celebrate your gift?
Exactly.
They get paid millions to play the game of football. If I score, who am I not to celebrate? I'm having fun. I'm doing what I love. I'm providing for my
right.
family, my friends. If you can't stop me, I'm going to dab on you. Or I'm going to do whatever
right.
I feel
right.
is needed.
That way he's taking the football and throwing it at people's faces or something. Like, okay, if he's doing that, then yeah, you need to stop celebrating because that's physically harming somebody, okay?
Yeah, that's very dangerous. We don't condone that at all in Thousand Jumps.
No,
but
he is
just dancing.
And he's having
he just
fun
gives
with
the
game.
To the kids. Come on, man.
What more? Like, come on, man. He gets fine when he does that. Do you understand? Like, people, I guess people just, you know, oh, he makes millions of dollars or something, or, you know, blah, blah, blah. But if you get fined $5,000 for doing something, right, one would
right.
stop doing that. Would generally say, yeah, this may be the time I should probably stop doing it. You know what he does? Scores more and continues to do that because the ball that he is giving to these kids, these fans of his, or of the team, they don't have to be his fans, of the team, means more to them than the $5,000 means to him. And
right,
millions of dollars or not, $5,000 is $5,000, okay? No one just wants to give that away. But he understands the magnitude. people pay ticket a lot of money to get these tickets
to see him
and
play.
He's giving them experience.
Perform.
Like, come on, like you can, it's not even like you maybe have had an argument going against us. Like T.O. celebrating, even though he was amazing, his celebrations were amazing. You maybe could say, you know what, it may not have been the best, but when you think about it, if you pay $100 or so to get the closest seats, and you want the fan experience, would you not be mad if a guy scores and just is bland all the time? Especially when he's known for having great celebrations. Like, you'd feel disservice if T.O. didn't do something special. If Cam doesn't dab when he scores, you'll feel like, man, he's taken away from the stands. You know, he's hiding something. He's not being helped. Like, this is not him. This is some robot.
It's the same thing as, like Odell. Like, when Odell scores, you know he's going to do something. You want to see
what?
That. That's showman. That's
what people mad at Victor Cruz for salsa in the end zone.
No,
like people forget that injury. Like he gets a touchdown, he starts salsa. And guys, like, oh, let's go! Look at him dance. Hey, that's great. This guy scores a touchdown and big floodgates open. This guy's a thug. He's not punching people in the media. He's not robbing people or shooting people. Last time I checked, that's what thugs generally do to people. Okay?
Amen.
If you're not committing any thuggish acts, stop calling him a thug. If you want to call him the N-word, please do. I will respect it more. Okay? Like, let's just be honest about why you feel this way. Because there have been white people dancing in the end zone, and you had no problems with them dancing in the end zone. Freaking Aaron Rodgers does that stupid discount double check thing, and they're like, "Oh, give him a commercial." Oh man,
thing,
give him another commercial.
It wasn't even it was him putting on the championship belt. He started doing that the season they won the Super Bowl. Then they win. It's like, well, let's pay him. But you know, Cam, it's unfair, man. It's really
unfair.
You
know what it is. Everybody knows what it is, and if you try to deny what it is, you're just wasting your media time and being just stupid and ignorant. Like, I can't even, like, come on, man. Just move on, man. Just stop. Just trying to think of ways to tear a person down. Like, come on. Be more creative, please.
I'm right here, Rob. We're on the same page. It's a beautiful thing when Rob and I are on the same page. Because it's the truth. I'm a big Cameron fan, been rocking with him. You know, I remember in the beginning, Cam didn't know how to lose. And people were like, why is he always doing that? Why is he always pouting? I'm like, gosh, this man didn't lose a college game for like 3 seasons.
Right.
He didn't
know
what like
it was like. National champion at Florida, you know, backing up. People don't remember that he backed up Tebow.
He backed up Tebow, left, undefeated in junior college, left. Went to Auburn, undefeated at
all
Auburn.
In Jason Campbell's footsteps. Shout out to Redskins Campbell, which is how I've been hit to Campbell for 99% of you people who have him now. I'm just going to put that out there now and, you know, sit back in my seat.
Yes. And then you go to a team and you just start losing. It's like, man, this is how it's supposed to be. I like all the greats. I was watching the KD documentary yesterday. He was talking about when he lost like 20 straight. It's like, man, is this how my career is going to be? I just lose every night.
Right.
But you roll with the punches, you get better. And now he about to dab in the Super Bowl. And honestly, that's one a good, clean game. It reminds me of like when Doug Williams was facing Elway. Like, Elway is managing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone wanted Elway to win. Everyone counted out Doug. He's not a capable quarterback. He went to HBCU, da 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 da. They didn't even film his MVP commercial. They was like, oh, it's going to be Elway this, Elway that. And if you don't know your history, the Washington Redskins destroyed the Denver Broncos.
42-10, whatever.
42-10, you know, whatever. You know, 35 points, 18 plays. That's never going to happen again. But who am I?
I mean.
He gets that respect. And I don't want Peyton to be blown out. But if he's blown out and Cam just goes off, I just want Cam to do, like, the most obscene thing like what would have happened if Marshawn would have been MVP of last year's Super Bowl, but y'all know how that went.
Hey, man, got me $45. It's okay.
And it created the greatest bond of all time.
It did.
After
everything happens for a reason. I don't know, man. I feel like you said, you're torn. I'm torn. Like I said, Peyton Manning, I mean, he's fallen short in some of the biggest moments of his career. Shout out to number 24, Charles Woodson, for doing what? Oh, snap. Taking the Heisman from Peyton. Yeah. Talk about it. I mean, he literally didn't have, if you look at his Super Bowl season, his postseason was arguably the worst postseason he's ever had. And he won the Super Bowl that year. When the team was on his back to carry, he threw a pick that I called, by the way, against the Saints. Pick six, woo! And then when it was his time to carry the Broncos again, I mean, well, another team which happened to be the Broncos, he got destroyed by the Seahawks, which I called too. Thank you very much, guys. So Peyton,
in
I'm like,
to Seattle, it wasn't just Peyton. They all just died. Like, no one showed up.
I mean, he threw two picks.
It was a nightmare for me.
And one of them was a pick six. I mean, whatever, you know.
I don't want to remember. It was a dark day in my life.
It was a dark day, man. But, like, I don't know, man. Like, people, like you said, man, you mentioned Elway, man. Elway, man, I don't know. He was dope, but you can never give him the ultimate props because he didn't win anything until Terrell Davis got there. Like,
no, he put the team on his back to get – they went to 3 Super Bowls in the 80s. Those teams were not nice. In the 90s,
he was getting involved.
Right. He was LeBron and it was like, we made it to the top, and we get mollywop. And guys were back,
like,
and we
like,
going home.
It was
like,
was,
we going,
yeah.
So – it's just interesting. I don't have a score yet. If we do a show Friday, I'm gonna keep you guys posted. If we do a show Friday, we'll discuss this. We'll discuss an actual prediction. Right now, I don't know yet. It's Tuesday. Right? I don't even know yet.
I'm gonna move that wrong.
I just want a good game. I want a quality game. I want something that goes down to the wire that we remember forever.
I want
I
some
want
good
one of those
pressure
moments
on both quarterbacks. Like, I want to see them
be
great. I don't want to see either defense get picked apart. I want to see the core. In the Super Bowl, I want to see greatness. Like, something that you have to do something outside yourself to show me that you earned the right to be the Super Bowl champ. Like, you got to show me that greatness, man. Tom Brady last year, second half, just picking apart one of the best defenses of all time. That's greatness. Like, I want to see that. So I don't really care who wins right now. I'll pick a side by the end of the week, but I just want to see greatness.
I agree. I mean, I just want a great game. For the most part, a lot of people, if you look at, like, old clips, in the 80s, Super Bowls were terrible. Early 90s, they were terrible. I feel like we've been blessed because other than the Broncos, Seahawks, and I'm sorry, Rob, Raiders and Buccaneers.
Yeah, I cried.
I
said a couple
of times. I wanted the Raiders to win too, man. I wasn't rooting for
the
Bucs.
It was
like
sabotage.
I hate my all-star.
It was sabotage. Our coach switched all the plays. Like, come on, you can't switch. It's like, hey, we got to a Super Bowl. No, let's change the whole game plan and throw to Jerry Porter instead of Jerry Rice. Crackhead would ever say that out their mouth. Stop the drugs, man. Stop. To this day, I need a recount. I need a redo of that Super Bowl. Bring them old people in there, and I need to see them play. This is crazy.
Well, Charles Woodson can still play. I don't know about anyone else. Well, Jerry Rice can probably still play. Can Rich Gannon still play?
I mean,
can Tim Brown still play?
Hey, Tim Brown's been Tim Brown since Tim Brown. Come on.
Anyway, other than those Super Bowls, we really had some quality Super Bowls, like some legendary moments throughout our whole career, throughout our lifetime. So I just hope that continues, and we'll get to that later. Now, Rob, we got, what, less than 15 minutes left. We make it really good on time. It's Black History Month, man.
Oh, is it? Oh, yeah, this is the shortest month of the year. You're right.
It's a leap year, by the way. It's 29
days. It's a leap year. We get another day to celebrate our culture. Whoa. Click my heels. I'm happy.
Did you go to February 1 thing at A&T?
Yeah, man.
No. Oh, you did?
Okay, so now don't search the history of the schools I go to. Whatever.
No, I'm just saying, one thing I regret about A&T, I didn't go to the February 1 event. That's one of my regrets. I have various reasons for each year, but they're not good reasons. So I didn't go. But that, though, for those who don't know, all alma mater, the four freshmen, the A&T four, I'm thinking of before, the A&T four,
yep.
You know, kind of sparked the civil rights movement, and it mm-hmm. saved it, you know, with protesting in the actual restaurant. And everything else kind of shaped afterwards. Shout out us. That's a great way to follow Black History Month. And it's crazy. I just tweeted this tweet, my definition of Black excellence, peace to all my black brothers and sisters. And then I put up like a little stat sheet of all the things we've invented. There's a lot of things on here that a lot of people don't know. Let me name a couple real quick. Let me educate our listeners, Rob.
Mm-hmm.
Rob, did you know we invented the air conditioning unit? Did you know that?
Well, I'm pretty sure. Well, I'm black, so I think I know that.
All right, let me ask another one. Did you know we invented the hairbrush? Did you know that?
I don't really take pride in that, but.
Lydia Newman, go look her up. Invented the hairbrush. All right, did you know we invented a mop? We invented the mop.
Hey, when you clean your floors, think of us. All
right, and this is another important one. Did you know we invented the TV remote?
Whoo!
And
well, you don't have to get up.
Right. We made it okay for you guys to be lazy and watch television. We did that.
Exactly.
But you don't read about that in the textbooks. But it's fact,
man,
though.
Shout out to Capitol Heights Elementary School. It's the elementary school that I went to. In my classes for Black History Month, you know, like every other school, especially in the hood, you had to do your project. And then you had long lines of people doing theirs on Martin Luther King or Malcolm X or Harriet Tubman. A few Sojourner Truths in there. My class, Mrs. Braxton, second grade, she did not allow that. She was like, you guys are going to pick somebody original that people don't know everything about already. So, you know. We had to pick some dope people. I mean, a couple of people I picked was Paul Robeson. Shout out to Paul Robeson, man. He is a legend. If you don't know, look him up. Like, I'm not going to do your job for you. Type him in on Google. Played football at Rutgers. Great in the civil rights movement. Went overseas and championed African-American rights, which is one reason they tried to ban him from leaving the country. But Look them up. Do your due diligence. And one of my favorite inventors, speaking of inventors, Jan Ernest Matzlicker. He made the shoe lasting machine, which attaches the soles and things to the shoe. Okay? This sped up. Yes, very important. It's pretty much with the revolution in the shoe industry. So, anytime you put on shoes, think of that, okay? Oh man, how do we get the Jordan releases on time? Well, guess what? It stemmed from the invention of the shoe lasting machine by a black man.
That's real. I mean, at my school, Perrywood Elementary, shout out Perrywood, you know, much love to my school, and in third grade and fourth grade, so that would be Miss Shirey for fourth. I can't think of my third grade teacher right now. It would come to me after the podcast, the crazy thing.
two people I learned about because we couldn't do like Martin Luther King or Malcolm X or Sojourner Truth or Harriet Tubman. Then Louis Latimer, the person who really invented the light bulb, but, you know, they don't give it to Edison. And I did George Washington Carver. Did those two. Those two, and I learned so much about them. Just like, dang. And then kind of all goes full circle. And even in college, arguably my greatest presentation in the history of my academic career, we had to be someone, like a important black person that a lot of people didn't know about. Mm-hmm. I got to be Booker T. Washington. Now, my grandfather was an alma mater. His alma mater is Tuskegee University. And my grandmother was so clutch, and she had his yearbook from 1950. Man, I killed that presentation. It was so dope. Everyone was like, yeah. It's like, I had the music playing. I had my speech prepared. You can ask Girl Melanie. Follow on Twitter, Girl Melanie 2E. She'll tell you. I did a presentation in front of her. She was like, oh, this is good. I was like, I know, I'm going to kill it. And I freaking murdered it. Got an A. Maria Hicks-View, I love you. One of my favorite teachers at A&T. So shout out Booker T. Washington, man. Tuskegee.
Dope.
I love you guys. And, yeah, that was. I still have my grandma, she let me keep the yearbook, too. So it's like, yo, I can see my granddad. Yo, my granddad was the man. Had all these bad girls signing it in it. Shout out, granddad.
This, come on, man. when the thing goes left. What? I see that. If it's not for me, he won't be on track, guys. I'm the heart of the show.
What? You can go fall off every building right now. That's what you can go do.
Then he goes into suicide. What's wrong with this guy, man?
Hey,
I will
shout out.
Hold on. I will shout out one thing else. Kindergarten,
okay.
I had to do a verbal presentation on the intercom. You know how big the intercom was in elementary school.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
On
you were the man.
Christmas Addicts, man. And my dad worked me like he was Joe Jackson and I was Michael. Like, bruh. My dad had a mic and everything, speakers and everything in the living room. And if I didn't enunciate every single word of my presentation, bad things happened, okay? So shout out to my dad because that's one of the reasons I'm pretty good, people say, at public speaking. I think I'm pretty good myself. But shout out to Christmas Addicts too, man. That put me on the map.
Power to our people, man. We
course,
the illest.
Man.
I mean, they can imitate, they can try to replicate, duplicate, whatever. I can keep rhyming. I don't rap, though.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, they'll never be who we are as people.
Nope.
We got that it factor, man.
It can't be as a fierce, man.
Yeah, man, you already know. But 1,000 Jumpers is coming to an end, ladies and gentlemen. If you're listening, we appreciate you. Again, people are listening from all over the world. So we global. I got to be like DJ Khaled. Major cloth alert. We appreciate all the people listening. Rob, as always, I'm going to give you your shout out first. Shout out to people you want to shout out.
Yeah, man, shout out to everybody in the world, man, black, white, you know, shout out to all of us. But let's spotlight on the African-American because society has deemed it this month to celebrate our existence. Whatever. Celebrate black history every day. Celebrate everyone's history every day because we are all humans. Show love, not hate. And shout out to my pops, like I said, for helping me to become who I am. Shout out to my oldest brother, Walter Jr., for being the inspiration. Shout out to my sister for always supporting me, my other brother, Sean, for being a road dog. Shout out to everybody who's ever helped me get to the point I am here today. And Dap for helping me to complete this idea, and vice versa. 1,000 Jumpers. We do it for the people.
I appreciate that. Got to, man. That's the only way to do it, man. Nothing to it but to do it. My shout-outs, first and foremost, man, I'm going to drop a breaking news alert. The movie that I worked on my last semester before graduation, Rob's seen it. Stand is the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Hashtag it. You'll see the clips.
Fire.
We're unveiling it to the world February 15th. Let me say that again.
Do you ever want to see a film that I'm a producer for? I'm one of the, like, I'm second producers, whatever you want to say.
Mm-hmm.
February 15th, follow Major Motives on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. You follow me, I'll show you where you need to follow. Our movie, February 15th, coming out. Stay tuned for that.
Oh.
Other than that, man, shout out to anyone listening who support me. Shout out my little brother. He's doing really good in school. He's stressing out. I'm trying to make sure he's getting the right school. Ironically, North Carolina Central is one of his schools, and if he goes there, I'll love him. I just won't love the school. Now let me stop. Shout out to Central.
Little weak,
I got some
man.
People that go there. Hey, chill, man. That's Isaiah. That's he's his own separate identity. Like, that's him. And I'm shout out my family. Shout out my friends. Shout out the crew. Shout out Big Crit, because that's what we're about to play, man. It's Rob to Jeff.
Yeah,
Jeff play. Actually, my favorite record off Return of Forever's classic mixtape.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have it. Just get it. Called Another Naive Individual Glorifying Greed and Encouraging Racism. And if you don't know what that means, when I click the song, you will once we play it.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, man, that shit is Tuesday. I'm off tomorrow, so I still might be
hey, man.
You know, I gotta,
oh, shout out my
pops. Streets.
I don't know if we're going to do a podcast Friday, but shout out my pops. His birthday is February 6th. Shout out to you, Dad. Dope.
Swag.
And, oh, today is Pamela Allen. She's like, she's a family friend, and it's complicated, I guess. But she's dope. Shout out her. Her birthday is today. Dope.
Hey, shout out. Much love for all the birthdays. Anyone got a birthday, man? We can give birthday requests, you feel me? But, shout out to whoever's listening. Keep doing your thing, and Thousand Jumpers is only going to get better. So without further ado, we're going to play Big Crit and fade out. Is there anything else you want to say
man.
About Reddit?
Say like that.
We go.
I want you all to go to your windows. Go to your windows and yell out. Scream with all the light that you can muster up inside your bruised, assaulted, and battered bodies. I am sick and tired of being a
nigga. Tell her come in. I don't want to be another nigga. Tell them white folk. I don't want to be another nigga. Tell them black folk. I don't want to be another nigga. Tell the world, I don't want to be another nigga. Waiting with my hands out. Broke in the hood, they give a damn bout. Bragging to my homie about the hoes I fuck. Drinking bottles after bottle cause I smoke too much. I never had a job that would pay me well. I took what I could cause they gave me hell. Spend what I stole on some clothes and kicks. My ex-girl say I want to mount the shit. But she sucking fuck when my car roll up. Try to fuck her sister, but she talk too much. Her mama shake her head whenever I come round. Whatever high I had when I saw her might come down. I barely go to church, but I say I will. I bow my head right before I eat my meal. The world's fucked up and they claiming I'm to blame. It's a damn shame, cause I don't wanna be another nigga. Tell the government, I don't wanna be another nigga. Tell them white folk, I don't wanna be another nigga. Tell them black folk, I don't wanna be another nigga. Tell the world, I don't wanna be another nigga. Waiting on the play to come through. Chilling with my homeboys, plotting on you. Watching movies, how to come up quick. Recruiting young niggas I can come up with. Barely read books, but they down to shoot. Live life, breaking rules, they got something to prove. Parents ain't around, they got nothing to lose. Wave a tool on a fool for some brand new shoes. Little child running wild in the streets. Wanna be a G, so he look up to me. Try to hit the block and make a name. Claim he caught a body, now he got it and he feeling all the same. Till the family of the victim come knocking. Bailing through the corners of the ghetto till they shot him. You still dying and they claiming I'm to blame. It's a damn shame, cause I don't wanna be another nigga. Tell the government, I don't wanna be another nigga. Tell them white folk, I don't wanna be another nigga. Tell them black folk, I don't wanna be another nigga. Tell the world, I don't wanna be another nigga. Always trying to sell you something. Don't really
know shit, but try to tell you something. Tap dance if you want him to. Could have fed the hungry, but he bought them jewels. Won't ever look back, cause he gotta keep moving. Even if he leave his own people bamboozled. Taking credit like he did it by himself. Too much pride to realize that he really had help. Only judge a man by his wealth. He ain't me, so he can't feel how I felt. He saw me walking and he ain't looked back. Too scared. We make eye contact. So he can say he didn't see me when he drove by. And I can say he didn't see me and it's alright. He just wants the fame from the game. It's a shame. I bet he think I'm just another nigga. Tell the government I don't wanna be another nigga. Tell them white folk I don't wanna be another nigga. Tell them black folk I don't wanna be another nigga. Tell the world I don't wanna be another nigga.